I'd like to invite Venerable Dhammajiva onto the stage to lead us in a guided meditation. Thank you.
Dear Venerable Sisters and Brothers, Dhamma friends, we are going to have 15 minutes of, so to say, sitting meditation in Satipatthana we call mindfulness in sitting. So before going to the session, I would like to mention a few facts. The importance of walking meditation is really helpful to have a successful sitting meditation. So when we are organizing a retreat timetable, always we give 1 hour of sitting and 1 hour of walking, like in the intensive kind of meditation retreat. So here we do not have facilities for walking meditation as well as do not have time. But anyway, we in the tea break, we had a certain amount of exercises. So with that, we are going to experience some mindfulness sitting. So I am much happy because Ajahn Brahm already given the basic instructions. So I am also repeating almost the same. Being it is sitting meditation, now you have to make yourself comfortable in your sitting. In your sitting posture, thinking that we are going to sit for 15 minutes. So first, you have to love your body. So make it comfortable, make it symmetrical, and make it relaxed. For that, we are using the body knowledge, the body awareness. So therefore, you need not to have foreign experts to teach you how to sit, or how to make you comfortable, how to make you symmetric. So therefore, we are going to test it. So please make yourself comfortable in sitting. And in mindfulness, it is somewhat invite you to the inside. So as far as our eyes are open, we are outside. So, extrovert. So, to make the other way around, it is being advised, mildly close your eyes and scan through your body to see whether you are sitting comfortably, whether you are sitting symmetrically, whether your limbs behind the neck and the back muscles are relaxed. If it is not relaxed, please consult your body knowledge and make it symmetrical. Make it relax and love your present moment, present posture. And that is what you call Nibbana. So closing eyes means you are doing away with this seeing kind of thing and come to a place like this, fairly silent. So you're listening also, hearing also, not much engaged. Smelling, tasting usually give less troubles and make your body comfortable and make a very important preparation. Don't make any conscious decision. Just let the body to be. And give the full attention, full vigilance, full diligence, full mindfulness to see when you are passively sitting, what is happening. So that means you are not letting the mind to go out, but instead facilitate and give conducive conditions and invite the mind to come and rest. Come back home. Get homely feeling. At home feeling. And how to verify now the mind is at home. That's the most difficult thing. No language can explain it. You do not know whether you are in a concept. You do not know verifiably you are here and now. So only the way to have this verification is continuity of the present moment. That's the most difficult part. Because you hate wandering mind. Specifically when you try to be mindful in city. So please, don't hate. Just let it happen as it is. And let sounds come and go. Let little bit of pains come and go. When and where possible, just sit and be aware I am sitting. The way I am sitting is just like a pyramid in a shape. Or anthill. Or like a cheti or dagaba. So the way you sit, you also may see the shape, the mental configuration of the sitting posture. The Buddha used the term āboga nishigati pallankam ābujitva. You sit comfortably and let the mind to custom, be familiar, be seasoned with this comfortable thought moment. It may be split second, maybe run into the sounds, thoughts and pains. But when and where I come back to the present moment, to the mindfulness, just be happy rather than be worried about wandering mind. Each time it goes, if it is a reason to be worried, when you come back home, it's a reason to be happy. That's called glad game. So now I'm going to take time onward together with you to experience the present moment in the sitting posture. And if you feel uncomfortable, make it a chance to make yourself comfortable and don't make any conscious decisions. Just experience whatever the thing happened in the present moment. Maybe a metabolic function like breathing or rising and falling of abdomen. As Ajahn Brahm mentioned, how your lower part of the body get the touching points. Whatever it may be, don't try to be selective. Whatever rising happening, make it a point, make it a benchmark. Make it a reference point to see that mind is at home. So I am going to stop this guided part and just let everyone us to sit mindfully. Hope it will be really a journey at home, journey return back to your way, back home. Thank you. Here you may open eyes slowly, reciting Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Thank you very, very much for guiding us through that meditation, Venerable.
Welcome.
I'd like to now open up the floor to some questions about this meditation experience. Even personal reflections about your experience that you had just now going through it. Comments, questions, reflections, concerns. Yes.
During the guided part of the meditation, you mentioned that the posture needs to be symmetric. Could you explain that?
I mentioned the symmetric. Symmetrical, you must be sit balanced.
Mm-hmm. But if I am asymmetrically seated or...
No, magic is that you never sit balanced.
Uh-huh. Okay, balance.
Whenever you are sitting, you never sit balanced. So whenever you feel sit balanced, it feels like a magic.
Right, okay.
That means we are torturing from morning to evening. We never think about the posture we are taking. So therefore, whenever you love yourself, whenever you sit comfortable, you feel something magical. So that is what we call the mindfulness.
Right. Thank you very much.
We heard this morning if we were not doing the meditation right, if we were seeing a light and things like that. But how would we know that we're on the right path in the meditation? Like, for example, I try to concentrate on my breathing, and after a certain point, I don't know what happens. I don't know if I fall asleep. Oh, I'm in a deep meditation, how would I know?
So, doing meditation and verifying whether in the correct track or not, it's a very hardest thing. But the only thing is, when you do it repetitively, again and again, there are some methods, ways and means you yourself will assimilate to see whether it's a concept or a reality. So that is the most difficult part in question, in interviews. So in a regular meditation, we'll say the intensive meditation, each day, alternative day, we give the meditator to express his or her experience, and the way it is expressing, only the teacher can understand whether they are expressing something, thinking or expectation, or what is happening. So, therefore, the experienced teacher may listen carefully and sometimes cross question to see whatever you are expressing, whatever you are explaining as you experience, is something premeditated or what something you expected or assuming, that kind of thing. So, therefore, experienced person may help you, or if you are doing with the good friend or a spiritual person in the discussion. So therefore, in the teaching of the Buddha, not that you are experiencing, your expression, your presentation, your telling someone is the way to verify it. I heard in the neuroscience, whenever resilience happens, whenever you get distracted, the mind goes out, and when it comes back to the track, I heard Richard Davidson, he mentioned there are two stages, going out and understanding I mean out. and again come back and understand that I am back. In Buddhist monastic code, the Buddha mentioned the way back home in four stages: Sarati, Vivarati, Uttani Karoti, Deseti. Whenever, for example, you are not mindful, or maybe you are hearing, or thought, or maybe some pain, you have to understand you are not in the main object, but still you are mindful, of course. And that understanding, and the main thing is you feel kind of a guilt, you feel kind of a depression. Ah, I lost the main track. Often you think it is a loss of mindfulness, but it is not the loss of mindfulness, it's a change of the object. And when it happens, don't hide it. Don't get depressed. Instead, vivarati. You really understand, now my mindfulness is so sharp, not only it is mindfulness is at the primary object, even the secondary object happened, for example, distraction. I can understand, I am in the distraction. And then Uttan Karoti highlight that is the way you appreciate your practice. And then you have to deshe it, you have to tell it to someone. Mind goes up, goes to the wandering, and way back home, now it has back to your posture, how to verify? It has come back to the original place. So this is the part, take long time for someone to express one's own meditation experience, and the teacher to understand whether he is fantasizing, whether he is dreaming, whether he or she is in a premeditative idea, so expected situation, so it takes time. But the methodology is there.
I know there's a question over here.
Thank you for taking my question. During that meditation, and even now, I feel this very distinct feeling in my forehead. And I don't think I'm having a stroke. But I was hoping you could maybe shed some light on it. So what is this that I'm feeling?
So when and where you feel something out of breath or out of the present moment, the feeling kind of a subtle thing in the head, is it an endowment of your mindfulness, or is it a distraction for your mindfulness?
I suspect it is a bit of a distraction.
So that I would say, when and where you become mindful about your body, only then you feel the subtle feelings. You are in the past or in the future, when you are thinking about other person, other places, you never feel this kind of thing. So this is a clear sign you are at home. So whenever these things happen, if you are not well instructed, if you are not really presenting the sharpness of the way it is happening, you put it in the negative way. But these are very clear signs. So I would say like this, when and where you become mindful, first and foremost thing you feel is kind of irritation. You list them as irritation. But if you ask a pointed question, is it a sign or is it an endowment of mindfulness or distraction? Then only you have to rethink. Now you are at home. And imagine the day you are going to appreciate it, that is called glad game. You become glad. Ah, now I feel. Whatever may be distraction. Then you are a different person.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, reflections on your experience? A webcast question? Okay.
Thank you. Ranjit would like to know, was meditation Buddhist teaching, or was it there long before the Buddha's time?
I didn't get to. Please repeat the question.
Yes. There's a question whether or not meditation is originally the Buddha's teaching or whether or not it predated the Buddha.
According to the last Buddha, what we call the Gautama, the Buddha, he says he has seen 512,028. That means 512,028 Buddhas previous. So time immemorial it is coming. It is not a the creation of the Buddha is a rediscovery. So, otherwise I would say, to put it in an easy way, you are already enlightened. You don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. One question. Following up from the same scenario, like the having the vibration. So it didn't happen to me now, but when I was meditating at home, sometimes I start really concentrating on the tummy movement. So it goes up, goes down. So my full concentration on that. Then all of a sudden, really, I sometimes realize there is some vibration going in the skull. And then what happens really, instead of focusing on this, I automatically start focusing on that vibration and then try to understand what's going on here, what's going on here. So am I doing something wrong? Sometimes I get scared also. So if you clarify that situation, please.
I would say when your tummy movement, so rising and falling become the primary object, and you make this as your pivotal point or a reference point. And while going, as far as mindfulness is developing, it is try to see the other little sensation in the body also. But still you are mindful. So now, earlier your mindfulness was with one single pointed. Now it is spreading around. And while it is spreading around, the knowing, experiencing tiny points, things, is it a distraction or is it a result of mindfulness? How do you feel?
So I feel like it's like, but sometimes since I want to be like understand what's going on inside my body, I start concentrating on what's going on there.
No, it is not, please check, it is not what you do, it is something happening. So when it is happening, when and where our mindfulness is intact and it is developing, it's diversified. The when and where you are distracted, you take the primary object as your return point, pivotal point. And once it is get established, it is in the commentary says, the satipatthana, sati, thana means establishment or foundation, pa. Is the one term. Later commentator he says, uggantitva, pagantitva, pattaritva pavattati iti. First you enter, and then establish, and then spread. So it's like a hobby, or it's like addiction. Be careful.
Yeah.
So mindfulness is the worst habit. You will end up by enlightenment.
So, other question is, when that happens, so I learn later on, really, I will try to get back to my where I was earlier.
Now and that then is the point where I come into being. Egotism come into being. You let mindfulness to take the helm and be aware your primary object is here. Yes, sometimes maybe on the breath or sometimes maybe your touching point. And once that is established, all the tiny things spread in. So you have to just accommodate.
Okay.
And it is like shedding a light into your path. The light don't disturb you. The path become more enlightened. So you must have the priority selection kind of guiding or facilitating. So this is what we have to discuss and help others to understand. Understand what are the endowments, what are the gifts of mindfulness, and what are the hindrances or distractions of the mindfulness. If you are uninstructed mind often select the bad thing or wrong thing. So you must be instructed. That is happened. That means overnight you can't understand all the nuances and shades of meaning of mindfulness. You have to start somewhere and discuss and dialogue with the other noble friends. Then your definition will be ever evolving.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I know we have a question over here.
Hi. Sorry. Thanks in advance. I'm very new to practicing meditation, or trying to, and I find that when I start, I usually become more aware of, like, my heartbeats. I can feel it in my hands. And then I'll also find that my mind does start to wander into, it's almost like I'm dreaming, and it'll be of being chased or the ocean, and sometimes I get worried because when I go into that train of thought, I often end up falling asleep. So I wanted to know if my mind starts wandering into different images, should I follow it through? Because I'm usually following it through with the understanding that my mind is going through this passage, but I also know that when I let it go to that extent, sometimes it's what I do before I fall asleep. So how could I, do I continue doing that until eventually my mind just stays focused on the present moment? Or do I try and if I know that I'm going to slip into sleep, I refocus it? That's what I was wondering.
So at the beginning, we should take the body at the pivotal point. So that is our target. So while you are shooting, whether it is your arrow or your bullet is hitting the target or not, you can understand. More and more you go there, your aim is not the mere the target board. Later you focus more and more to the bullseye. So that is the way the concentration come into play as far as the mindfulness becomes sharper. And when and where your mindfulness is continuous with the same object, that may be the breath or your whole body or your rising and falling or whatever may be, more and more it become familiar, less and less become dramatic, less and less it become interesting. So therefore kind of a boredom sets in, kind of a monotony sets in. So therefore whenever the mindfulness come in, gathering the momentum, that the shades of sloth and torpor, kind of a slimy mind, congealing mind can come in. It's also good sign if you go prepared. Otherwise, you recognize this as the sloth and torpor, but it is kind of a slimy, it's kind of a boredom, kind of a monotony happens. So therefore, it's a progress in the mindfulness. But if you are not really go prepared, easily you can fall into sleep even. So therefore, how to select, how to understand whether your mind is become slimy and sleepy or it is more and more focused. The Pandita Sayadaw from Burma, he mentioned, whenever you wake up, I mean in the same sitting, if the mind come back to the primary object, it's a good sign. If the mind is come back and still in the wandering, that means something wrong. So I am again emphasizing, way back home, you have to monitor. That is the secret there. So let the mind wander off for the past, future, fantasizing or sleepiness. But it is not the end of the episode. When it come back, just see how quickly, how frequently you can go back to the primary object. If naturally come to the primary object, it is not a kind of sleep. It's a kind of a slimy mind. So next day, go prepare. And that is the way you go to the deeper, deeper levels of your mind. So you have to facilitate it, but many people fall into that trap. But it is not a crime, not punishable.
Thank you so much.
Another question over here.
Hello, thank you very much for your guided meditation. My name is Janice. I'm an obstetrician gynecologist from the Toronto area. I lead a very stressful life, and I've worked with, I guess I'll call her a holistic health practitioner who practices mindfulness. And I'm just very interested in learning more about Buddhism and meditation. When I've worked with her in the past with meditation, I've noticed that there are colors that come into my sight behind my eyes almost, purples and pinks or greens and blues. And when I wake, when I come out of the meditation, I feel extremely calm and at peace and refreshed. Can you comment on that at all and tell me if that has any meaning or if I'm meditating correctly or?
So you have to understand the time you allocated for mindfulness. I don't usually use the term meditation even. You allocate for the mindfulness, then the calming down happened And then when you once wake up, you can understand that calm down, and slowly that will wean it off, disappear. So more and more you give time to the mindfulness, that calmness not only just appearing, but it's longer, it will be lasting. So therefore, regular practice, you have to understand to increase that time period, and more you give the calming down, longer it will be remaining. And before that, I would say, if you can get that kind of a calmness, try, please, how much you can go into that kind of a situation in walking meditation. Walking meditation is a completely different kind of a experience, because there you do intentional one single task, and you move up and down, give the mind to be aware. And whenever the children are being introduced, whenever the very old people are being introduced, whenever recovering kind of people introduce, whenever someone with the full depression and kind of, the walking is the way. Walking is given a very dynamic, very effective way. And after little bit of walking, for example, if you are 15 minutes, if you are walking, sit 15 minutes. Then you can see the starting balance. The opening balance in the sitting is very conducive, very facilitating after sitting. And then go, yeah, the once you even wake up, it's stay in the mind longer time. So it's a repetitive application. This is a very indicator for the temporary or momentary. Now your common sense must be consulted and see, how can I expand this time period? You can't, it is not fair enough to ask that kind of question from the Buddha. But you have your experience now, you have to little by little, don't go for very big changes, slowly, slowly, slowly increase the time, and so much so you get this kind of peace of mind, or kind of a contentment. So that is the way you radiate loving kindness to yourself, or you radiate kind of a compassion to yourself, and increase it little by little, daily. That regularity in the practice is the secret.
Thank you. I've done the walking, walking meditation on a retreat in Mexico for a week, and it was wonderful. But I really wanted to know about the color that comes into my mind when I'm meditating. Is that a sign of anything? Is that, what does that mean?
If you read Visuddhimagga, it says dark colors and become multicolored, and then ultimately become fade off. And if you go more towards the white color, that means this is a sign of a reduction of the defilements. But even the author of the Visuddhimagga says, don't take it as a hard and fast. It's a kind of a vague indication. So therefore, the colors have evolution, or otherwise the changing nature of the color. So you have to see the shapes and the manners of the color. It's never the same. It's ever evolving. From hard, dark colors to light colors is the healthy sign.
It's a healthy sign?
Healthy, healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Venerable Dhammadeva, for
sadhu, meditation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you.